Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
And we've been studying in Genesis and Nehemiah, and today we're going to be all over the prophets and in Matthew. And there's too much ground to cover. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is begin to study these things out on your own. Because it's not enough for us to just come on Sunday and hear the Word. We need to Monday hear the Word, and Tuesday hear the Word, and Wednesday hear the Word, and Thursday hear the Word, and Friday hear the Word, and Saturday hear the Word, and Sunday hear the Word. The Word should be an everyday occurrence in our lives. And so I encourage you to faithfully study out these things and faithfully learn what the Word of God says regarding the times that we live in. Because we need to be prepared. Because Jesus is soon to return. I fully believe He will come in our lifetime. I fully believe that we will see the coming of the Son of God. And so we need to be prepared. And we need to get others prepared. And we need to do what we can to be ready. Not just going through life on autopilot. Not just living any which way we want to live. But living on purpose for the will of God and doing the will of God in our life and building His kingdom on this earth. The first week we looked at Nutty Noah. We looked at Noah and how intelligent that he was and that God gave him wisdom and divine knowledge on how to save his family. And in these last days, God will give us wisdom and divine knowledge on how to save our families and how to bring others to a saving knowledge of Him. He'll give us divine plans and divine inspiration of things that we need to do. And they may seem nutty at the time, but if you're willing and obedient, the Bible says you eat the good of the land. But we must be willing and we must be obedient. So we got to be like Noah. When God tells you to do something nutty, you just do it. Nike has nothing on Noah. That was the first original, just do it. When God gives a command, we don't try to figure out the why. We don't try to figure out the how. Although we do make a plan, but we make it with God. We don't make it on our own. And we follow His will and His way of doing things and the way He wants things done. Then we looked at Nehemiah and how God commanded him to rebuild the wall of the kingdom of God. How God commanded him to go and restore and fight for the families of the children of Israel. And Nehemiah went and did what God commanded him to do. He led the people into restoration and rebuilding the kingdom of God in times of distress and in times of everybody going, what are you doing? You can't build a wall. These are just goldsmiths. These are just common people. These are not constructionists. What are you doing? You can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. And in these last days, when we are doing the things that God asks us to do, people will look at us and say, you're not supposed to do that. That's not culturally acceptable. That's not the way we do things around here. But remember, we don't operate in the world system of doing. We operate in God's system of doing. We don't operate in how the world says things should be. We operate how God says that they should be. And if God tells us to do something, He will give us the power and the ability and the grace to go forward and do it. It doesn't matter that they were all they weren't constructionists. God said, go and build. And so they put their hands to the work. The Bible says in Nehemiah, we studied this in detail last week, they had a mind to work. You and I have got to have a mind to work. Many people in our earth today do not have a mind to work at all. They got a mind to mind everybody else's business but their own. You and I must have a mind and hands to work and do the work that God has called us to do. So in this theme, in this way of looking at things, the part three today is preparing the way. Because Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. And we will stand before Him. And we will give an account for the things that we have done while we were here on this earth. And we must be found faithful to do the work, preparing the way for Him to come. We can look around our world today. You don't even have to pick up a newspaper or look on your Facebook feed to know that the end of times are around us. Like we said last week, you know, we read in Joel how it talks about the blood, the moon and the blood and all that. Well, how's that going to happen? And you see, we got another blood moon coming up in a few months. We have things that are going on in our earth that we need to be aware of. And God, the very things that He laid out from the beginning of the world are coming to pass before our eyes. And we need to prepare the way. We need to prepare ourselves, and we need to prepare others. And we need to get others ready to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and get their hearts and minds turned toward God, not to the mess of this world. When we see these things, we don't need to be scared. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. For all these things have to happen, and then the end will come." We need to fear not. We have a reverent fear of God. But we need to not be afraid of the times that we live in, and know that we, as long as we are obedient to God's plan, we will be okay. And we'll see that this morning in the Word. Matthew 24, verse 37. "As were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For just as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the very day that Noah went in the ark. And they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." And we see that in our world today. The children of God are beginning to wake up and realize this is it. This is the end. We are here. It's time to put in place the final exit strategy. And the world, and many Christians even, are going about their business like, you know, hey, I'm just here. You know, I'm waking up, going to work, doing my same old thing the way I've always done it since the very day I was born, because that's the way we've always done it. And there are alarms ringing right and left around. And this is happening from the book of Revelation. And this is happening from Matthew. And this is happening from Isaiah. And this is happening from Daniel. And we see all these things that are beginning to take shape and take place. And the end is coming together just like God said it would. And many people in the body of Christ are beginning to wake up. We need to wake up, realize the time that we're living in, and prepare ourselves and prepare others and prepare the way of the Lord. Just as it were in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Many people in the world are going about business as business as usual. But the times that we are living in, it's not business as usual. We need to prepare for the Lord's return. We need to make straight the paths. Malachi 3:1-7. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come into his temple. And the messenger or angel of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He will sit as the refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the priests, the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Let's stop right there and look at that. Prepare the way of the Lord, for he is coming suddenly to his temple. He is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. What does this mean? God wants to refine us. He wants to clean us. He wants to get the junk out of us. He doesn't want us to go through life with these impurities and imperfections. And many people say, oh, God loves me just the way I am. He does love us. But when we come to Him, then the process of discipleship and purification begin to happen, and God begins to show us ways where we can draw closer to Him. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. We've talked about this before, but how do they purify metal? They put it in a vat of boiling hot cauldron of metal. And all the metal begins to melt and make a liquid, a hot liquid. And the impurities rise to the top, and then they scrape them off. And then the more impurities rise to the top, and they scrape them off, and they sift them out. Tribulation and trials and bad things and times of temptation are an opportunity for us to be refined. Because when we get hot, when we get put in the cauldron of the mess and the pressure of this world, then the impurities begin to rise to the top and we say, ooh, I'm not as nice as I thought I was. Ooh, I have a little bit more anger than I thought I had. Ooh, I got some issues. And they begin to pop up. And then Jesus offers us an opportunity to be refined. Will you let me dig that mess out of you? Many times we run from God screaming, no, this is too tough, I quit. Run. You aren't going to scrape me. You know, it's like a little kid when they get ready for bath time. I don't have much experience with that, but I know I have friends who have. It's time for your bath. No! My fur babies don't like it either. I don't have real babies, but I got fur babies. And they don't like a bath either. They run yelling and warn the others, it's bath time, run now. Roll in the mud while you can. And many times when God offers us up an opportunity to get clean, to be refined, to have some impurities dug out, we're like, I think I like this. This is comfy. I'm okay with this. Jesus loves me just the way I am. And He does love us just the way that we are. But He calls us to purify ourselves. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. He calls us to walk closer to Him. How many of you have ever tried to walk next to a stinky person? It don't go very well. It doesn't go very well at all. You get next to somebody that hadn't had a bath in a month or two, you start moving away. Did you know that it's proven? My degree's in talking, if you couldn't tell. I told Josh one day, he was like, wow, there's so many words. And I said, I have a whole degree in words, you know? That's what I learned to do for a living. But You can literally chase someone around the room by getting in their space and getting close to them and talking to them. God wants to get in our space. He wants us to walk next to Him. But the more stinky we are, the further away He is. Not because He's moved away, but because we don't want to come close. We need to allow Him to clean us up and purify us. Dig out those impurities. When temptation comes, when trials come, don't say, "Oh my goodness, why is God letting this happen to me?" Well, first of all, God is the author of good. Why is this happening? Why don't things just work out like I want them to? Instead of looking at it like that, look at it as an opportunity. God, how can I get closer to You in this? How can I get more pure? How can I get more impurities dug out of me? I see that my temper is needing some help right at this moment. I see that I still got bad moods and bad attitudes. I see that I'm not as gentle and kind as I thought that I once was. God, how can You use this to further refine me and purify me and clean me and make me more like You? Don't look at trials as something grievous, but look at them as opportunities for growth. Opportunities for growth. Then will the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and the ancient of years? When will the offering be pleasing to the Lord? After the purification. After we get the impurities out and we dig out that mess and that junk. After the refining fire. Then I will draw near to You for judgment. I will be swift witness against the sorcerers and the idolaters and the false swearers, against those who oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and who turn aside the temporary resident from his right and fear Me not, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers. You have turned aside from My ordinances and not kept them. Return to Me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And you can study on in Malachi, they say, how shall we return? And then they go on into the chapter. We won't be able to dig into every single thing that you could ever talk about preparing the way of the Lord today. This is kind of an overview, and then it's our job through the week to dig in and say, what is God saying in the rest of these chapters, and the chapters before and the chapters after? I encourage you, when you're studying the Word of God, don't just look at one verse. Look at all the verses that surround it, because you can get into some funky monkey mess when you just start looking at pieces of verses. You know, Paul wrote, bodily exercise profiteth little. You can make a whole religion on that. We'll never exercise ever again, because Paul said. But, you know, I don't exercise because it's in the Bible, you know. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little, so I just don't believe in that junk. We can build a whole religion on that one little statement. But if we look at it in context, he's talking about building up your spirit man, and that profits more than all the weightlifting in the world. And so when we look at verses in context, then we can see the whole picture. We see the whole plan of God instead of just taking one little piece and building a whole religion on that. I'm not ever exercising again because the Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it for me. We need to look at it in context and look at the chapters before, the chapters after. What is he saying? So I encourage you, don't just look at the verses that we look at here on Sunday morning, but take them home and look at them on the before chapters and the after chapters, the whole book, and dig in and see exactly what God says. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 8. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. speak tenderly to the heart of Jerusalem, and cry to her that her time of service and her time of warfare are ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received punishment from the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. A voice of one who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Clear away all the obstacles. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted and filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked and uneven shall be made straight and level, and the rough places plain, and the glory and majesty and splendor of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So what is our job? To be a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way, clearing the obstacles, making straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. So our job is to prepare the way of the Lord, to make room for Him to move in this earth, to clear away all the hindrances, all the obstacles within us first. Because get the beam out of your own eye before you go digging around in everybody else's eyes. And then once we have ourselves cleaned up and ready, then we work on bringing others to salvation knowledge. Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear away the obstacles. So that the glory of the Lord can be revealed. A voice says, cry and prophesy. And I said, what shall I cry? All the flesh is frail as grass, and all that makes it attractive, its kindness, its goodwill, its mercy from God, its glory and comeliness, however good, is transitory. Like the flower of the field, the grass withers, the flower fades, but when the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely all the people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. So what shall we cry? What shall we speak? We shall speak the word of the Lord, because we are temporary, but the word of God lasts forever. We are temporary, but the word of God is everlasting. We don't cry what we think is good to cry. We don't say what we think is good to say. We say what the word says. And when we get the word on what we're doing, and we line our life up with His word, instead of trying to make His word fit our life, then we are on track with Him and making a way in the wilderness. You know, I think that would be pretty difficult. Let's go out in this wilderness, no water, no road, no nothing, and let's just start building a highway. Even with all the modern technology and equipment that we have in the world, it would still be pretty difficult. God hasn't called us to easy. And in the last days that we live in, it won't be easy. It won't be easy for anybody. But God will walk with us. He will make a way. He will provide if we are lined up with Him. The problem is many times when we get in desert wilderness places, we go off on our own way. Well, I think it looks good over in this direction. There's a road. I don't know which state it's in. Probably should have looked that up beforehand. Josh and I have talked about it before. But there's a road that you go on that once you start, it says, like, there's a big sign, last gas station for so many ever miles. And it takes your whole tank of gas to get to the next gas station. And all it is in the middle is wilderness and desert. If you get off of that road, if you go off track, you are stuck. There's nothing. And many times on the road of life, we get on course, we begin to line our life up with the Word of God, and then we're like, ooh, squirrel, that looks awesome. I got to go see about it. And we get off track, and we get distracted, and we get off course from the very thing that God has called us to do. And we run out of gas, and we get stuck in the wilderness because we did not keep the course. In these last days, you and I must keep the course. and stay on track with God, lining our life up with His Word, staying on His highway, clearing the obstacles on His highway. We say, oh, over there, it doesn't look like there are any obstacles. That looks nice. Oh, I see a palm tree. And what is that? It's going to be a mirage is what it's going to be. It's going to look good, but once you get there, it's not going to be what you thought. And we spent all that time getting off course for something we thought looked better. When God's Word is true, it remains the same. He never changes what He says He will do. And all we have to do, instead of trying to fit the Word of God to make our life work for us in the way we want to do things, is we fit our life to the Word of God to make the Word of God work for how He wants to do things. Isaiah 57:10-21. You are wearied with the length of your own way, in trying to find rest and satisfaction in alliances apart from the true God. Yet you did not say there's no result or profit. You found quickened strength, therefore, and you were not faint or heartsick or penitent. Of whom have you been so afraid and in dread that you lied and were treacherous and did not seriously remember me and did not give me a thought? Look at that. You were wearied. You were exhausted with the way you were trying to do things on your own apart from me. Isn't that the truth? When we go on our own apart from God and His yoke and His way of doing things, we exhaust ourselves. We get weary. He said, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But when we get trying to do things in our own way, we get exhausted. But notice that they just kept going. They were so stubborn. Have you ever known somebody stubborn? I'm a smidge stubborn, I'll admit that. I don't have my halo on right now. And if you're honest, no, I won't go there. We need to realize when it's not working. And many times it's because we're doing mess that God never said to do. Or we're off in our own way because we think we have a better plan. We don't. God's plan, His ways, are far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. You found quickened strength, and you were not faint or heartsick or penitent. You did not even give me a thought. Think about your life. This past week, just take this week as a point of reference. How many times did you and I give God a thought? Did we think of Him? Did we think of consulting Him for something that we were about to do? Well, I was just going to go to Walmart. Well, okay. But maybe God wanted you to go at a different time because somebody was going to be there that needed to hear. Or you got this little gut check in your spirit that said, you need to call that person. And you just didn't call. You just got so wrapped up, and I got so wrapped up in life that we didn't make that call. That we just knew in our spirit, in our gut, that we needed to do. We don't need to live by wishbone. We need to live by backbone. And when we feel those things that we feel like we need to do, we need to do them. We need to remember God. We need to give Him a thought. Have I not been silent, even for a long time? And so you did not fear me. I will expose your pretend righteousness and your doings. but they will not help you. When you cry out, yet let your collection of idols deliver you. But the wind shall take them all, a breath shall carry them away. But he who takes refuge in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. God's not looking for pretend righteousness. He's not looking for a good show. He's looking for true, heartfelt relationship with His creation. Because pretend righteousness will get you nothing. When we stand before the judgment of God, our pretend righteousness, our own righteousness, is like filthy rags. Only a true relationship with the Lord shall stand in the day of judgment. And the word of one shall go forth, cast up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way, the spiritual return of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the holy, high and holy place, but with him also who is of thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent, the bruised in sorrow for sin. I will not contend forever, ever, neither will I be angry always. For if I did stay angry, the spirit of man would faint and be consumed before me. And my purpose in creating the souls of men would be frustrated. Because of the iniquity of his covetousness and unjust gain, I was angry and smote him. I hid my face and was angry. And he went on turning away and backsliding in the way of his own willful heart. I have seen his willful way, but I will heal him. I will lead him also. I will recompense him and restore comfort to him and to those who mourn for him. Peace, peace to him who is far off. And to him who is near, says the Lord. I create the fruit of his lips, and I will heal him, and make his lips bloom anew with speech in thankful praise. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. God is calling us back to him, to not do things our own way, to not go by our own plan, but to get in the flow of the Holy Spirit and the way that the Spirit is moving, not the way our flesh wants to move. Because we want to move in all kinds of directions. Some mornings I wake up and I want to move by smacking somebody. Some mornings or some afternoons, I get frustrated by things that don't exactly go my way. But that's not how God has called us to operate. That is our flesh. Those are opportunities for refinement. Opportunities to move closer to God. God is calling us to not move in our own way, but to move in His way and His will. And the last time that we have left today, I want us to look at John the Baptist. We've looked now in the Old Testament where it talks about how God wants us to prepare a way. He wants us to make straight the path for His return. And we're going to see what John the Baptist did in Matthew chapter 3. But you can not only look at Matthew chapter 3, but Mark 1, Luke 3, and John 1 all have their take on this account of Scripture. But in Matthew chapter 3, it says, in those days there appeared John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness, the desert of Judea, saying, repent, think differently, change your mind, regret your sins, change your conduct, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he who was mentioned by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, shouting out in the desert, prepare a road for the Lord, make highways, his highways straight, level, and direct. This same John, now let's take a look at John. You would think that if somebody was coming to announce that the king had arrived in the land, that he would be all fancied up. That he would be all looking smooth and you know, had his stuff together. But God's ways are different than our ways. God has his own way of doing things. John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and it says this: the same John's garments were made of camel's hair. He wore a leather girdle about his waist, and the food that he ate was locusts and wild honey. Now, I'm not telling you all when you leave for church, you need to go dig up some locust and get some honey from Mr. Bates and go home and eat it. But this is how God told John to do things, and this is the way he was doing them. We need to do things the way God tells us, no matter what it looks like to everybody else. Then Jerusalem. Because, you know, just the way, because it's the way it's always been done, doesn't mean it's the way it's always got to be done. What your mama used to tell you, there's more than one way to skin that cat. I don't know why we're skinning cats, but evidently they did. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the country round about Jordan went out to him. So he was making a ruckus in the wilderness. He was out in the desert saying, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. Repent. Get right with God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is calling us in these modern ark days to be the one going out in the wilderness saying, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare the way. The Lord is returning. And I know that we as church people, good going church people, have gotten so burnt out on Jesus is coming soon because they've been saying it since great grandma Moses. But he is. Now is the time. And we need to be ready. And we need to ready others. Then Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him to see what was going on. Who is this man eating honey and locusts, wearing camel's hair, yelling in the wilderness, repent? What is he doing out there? And they were baptized in the Jordan by him, confessing their sin. So revival was breaking out in the land. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, the people who looked on religion more than a relationship, who looked on tradition of man rather tradition of God, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee and escape from the wrath and indignation of God against disobedience that is coming. Bring forth the fruit that's consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. And don't presume to say, we have Abraham for our forefather. So God is even talking to the church people. And if you read the book of Revelation, which we don't have time to get into today, you read the letters to the church. God is talking to the church people. Get hot. Quit being lukewarm. Quit being cold. Get hot. I will spew you out of your mouth. I know your works. I know that you look good, but I know the inside you're a mess. Get right. Get it together over and over and over. You've lost your first love. You've gone away from the things of God. Come back to me. Come back to my ways. Don't try to make my way fit your life. You let your life fit my way. So he's talking to the churchy people. John the Baptist is. The religious leaders who had their traditions and saying, you should also repent. And let your lives be proof of your change. Don't just say, Abraham's our forefather, so we are good to go. Don't just say, because my grandma took me to church and I prayed that one time in children's church, that I'm good to go. Let your lifestyle prove that you are a child of God. God is able to raise up descendants for Abraham from these stones. And already the axe is laying at the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit And we spent all kinds of weeks talking about fruit. 10 or 11. So we won't dig up those roots again this morning. But if we don't bear fruit, good fruit, then he cuts down and it's thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water because of repentance. That's why we do the whole baptism thing. It's an outward showing of an inward change that we have made with our God. So I baptize you with water because of repentance, changing your hearts and minds for the better, amending your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy or fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out and clean his threshing floor and store his wheat in his barn. But the chaff he will burn up with fire that cannot be put out. So what is he talking about? He's saying, listen, it's not enough just to say that you love God or say that you go to church or say that you come from a churchy family. You've got to be the bride of Christ. A change on the inside. It's not enough just to change our words half the time. We've got to change our hearts and our minds and our wills and our attitudes and our emotions and line up with Him. Because there's coming a day where Jesus will clear the threshing floor. And the wheat will go into the barn. This is a picture of the separating of those who believe and those who do not. Those who obey His commandments and those who do not. But the chaff will burn up with fire. It's an allusion to heaven and hell. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by Him. But John protested, having a mind to prevent him and stop him, saying, it's me who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus replied to him, permit it just now, for it's the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness, to perform completely what is right. And he permitted him. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open. And he, John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And behold, a voice from heaven says, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight and in whom I am well pleased. We need to prepare the way of the Lord. We need to make straight His paths. We must call others to repentance. Luke 14:23. The master said to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and urge and constrain them and yield and come in so that my house might be filled. It's time that we go out and we bring others to knowing God. Not knowing religion, not knowing man's traditions, but a true heartfelt relationship with God. A true coming back to the Word of God. We must call others to discipleship. It's not enough to know God, but then you got to grow in God. It's not enough to know, then you got to grow. Know, then grow. Many times we get the knowing part right. We can know about God. We can even have repented of our sin. But are we growing and are we showing others the way to grow? Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus approached them, breaking the silence, and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, all the days, even to the very consumption of the age, the end of the world. Amen. So, it's not enough just to know, but then we got to grow. We go and make disciples. teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. We must call others to be prepared for the days ahead that we are living in. Matthew 25:1-13. This is the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And we'll close with this morning. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Again, this is a picture of the last days, the times that we live in. 5 of them were foolish, without forethought, and thoughtless. And 5 were wise, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil alongside with their lamps also. And while the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they began nodding their heads and fell asleep. So let's take a look at this, how this is a picture of the church today. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 were prepared with oil in their lamp and extra oil at their side. 5 were just happy to be there. They were just there, doing their own thing. And when it seemed like the bridegroom was slow in coming, they all began to fall asleep. We think that the bridegroom, that Jesus, is kind of slow to come. And so the church has kind of fell asleep. And there are some that know the truth and know the things that we need to do to be prepared and the things that, and then there are some that are just so proud to be there. Like Minnie Pearl. Got their hat with their tag on. Just so proud to be here. Y'all didn't know I knew about some Minnie Pearl. You have to remember who my parents are. But this is a picture of the church. While Jesus is taking a while to come back, everyone begins to fall asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold the bridegroom! Go out to meet him! Then all the virgins got up and put their lamps in order, started trying to light them, started trying to get them going. There were those that were prepared and had it all together. They were ready to go. They hopped up, lit their lamp. Okay, we're good. And then there were the foolish virgins who were just so proud to be there, but weren't prepared at all. Those virgins got up, put their lamps in order, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us your oil because our lamps are running out." The wise replied, "There will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead and buy for yourselves oil." But while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. They were all in the same spot. They all had lamps. But not all of them had fully obeyed the commands of preparation. Later, the virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open up the door to us. We finally got it together. We see that you're really coming back. Open the door. We're ready now." But he replied, "Solemnly, I declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Watch, therefore, give strict attention, be cautious, and be active, because the Son of Man is coming." The Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, how does all this fit in with Noah? We started talking about an ark, and then we talked about Nehemiah, and now we're talking about John the Baptist eating wild locust and honey. What are we doing? In Genesis, we see God repenting, starting fresh, rebuilding the earth with his obedient to his word servant, Noah. He was doing everything that God commanded him to. He was getting the clean and the unclean animals, and he was making sure two by two and seven of these and none of the, you know, and he was getting it all together, putting the food in there so everybody had stuff to eat. In Nehemiah, we see Nehemiah, us, the church, repenting, rebuilding the walls of righteousness and right standing with God and fighting for our families. So it starts off with God repenting and restoring. Then we repent and restore and rebuild. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see John the Baptist calling other people to repentance. He's going out in the highways and the hedges, compelling them to come. He's readying himself and readying the people for the coming of the King. This is a picture of us today. The King is coming. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Are we ready? Are we prepared for the days ahead? And have we prepared others? We need to build an ark. Let's stand. God, thank you for wisdom and knowledge to know what to do and how to do it.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God. Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.